It's where you go to bike, hike, and stroll miles of pathways over more than 7,000 acres of parkland. A place to go explore rivers and fish their bountiful waters. Natural places to go marvel at magnificent wildlife while you play outdoors and go wander charming communities. Find all this and more at Destination Downriver. Give it a go.
Today's podcast is presented by MarketInsights.us. With the podcast on YouTube produced by the City of Taylor's Media Center. Thank you for the generous support of our community sponsor. When your destination is beyond downriver, let Martinson Family of Funeral Homes help you and your family. With locations in Trenton, Allen Park, Mabee, Rockwood, and Monroe, their staff is available 24/7 at 734-671-5400. For more information, visit martinson.com.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design. Let Allegra assist you with your print, mail, design, and signs. Located in Wyandotte, Michigan, or call 734-284-5330.
Welcome to another episode of Destination Downriver. I'm your host, Carl Zymek. Listening to music on digital platforms is all the rage these days, but nothing compares to the sights and sounds of a live concert. You feel every element when the music is live and you're watching in person. It can be an extremely powerful experience. Every city in the region offers this type of concert entertainment, often free. Why are these concerts so popular? They help bring communities together and create new memories. Michiganders love their outdoors in the summer months. Music has an uncanny ability to change your mood and instill joy. It makes you relax when you're stressed and pumps you up when you're feeling down. Today's segment focuses on just a few portions of Downriver's musical culture. Our guests include Stephanie Davis, events coordinator in Lincoln Park, Todd Dickman, recreation director in Riverview, and our colleague, Rich Williams, Destination Downriver's program manager. Next up, our panel talks outdoor musical entertainment in the Downriver community on this episode of Destination Downriver. We're back with our panelists, and I'll introduce them right now for our session on live music in the Downriver area. Next to me, Stephanie Davis, events coordinator for Lincoln Park. Todd Dickman, back again for another round here, the recreation director of City of Riverview. And on the far side, Rich Williams, Destination Downriver program manager. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Happy
Thank
summertime.
You. Thank you.
We're headed for August very quickly here.
Summer, yes, we are.
The summer has flown. First question, both for you and Stephanie here, Todd, you both perform similar jobs for your cities in setting up these monthly live concerts that have become so prominent throughout the entire Downriver region. Love to hear why both of you feel that these events play such an important role in your community. Let's start with you, Todd.
The events, it's great to have them because it gives a little bit of community feel. People are able to get out and enjoy some live music in the park, get out for a few hours, just enjoy just being outside and with friends. And I know one of the things that I see with it that I really like is when you're at the concerts, you'll see pockets of people that are enjoying it, you know, getting together just from their community. But not only that, they know each other from the different areas, and so they walk around and talk to people. So not only are you getting out and listening to some good music, there's also some good socialization and gets you that community feel, which is
Stephanie,
really nice.
Stephanie, how about you?
I absolutely agree with the community feel. Mm-hmm. I love, Lincoln Park does have really deep roots in music with the MC5 and Bob Seger. It's just a long, long history. And seeing people that've seen those concerts from back then still coming today, and that feels really good.
Now, admission or no admission?
Free.
Yours are free?
Our concerts are free too.
Okay. All righty. Is that you want to keep them that way?
Yes.
Or yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
All righty.
As much as we can. Yes.
All righty. How long have each of you been holding these type of concerts at your venues? Let's start with you. You have the Lincoln Park Band Show.
The band show, they have been holding concerts since the 60s. I know we're going to go in later, like the history of the band show.
Yeah.
But they've been holding concerts since that time, and they've continued that tradition since then. There was like a small pocket of time, like through the 90s and 2000s, there weren't any, and then it was brought back. Mm-hmm. But we're going to keep it going for the foreseeable future. It's what people look forward to most in the summer for Lincoln Park.
How about you, Todd?
You know, Riverview, we haven't had a steady. It's been going on for so many years. It's been on and off. I started in Riverview 21 years ago. We did, you know, two, maybe three concerts in the park during the summer. And then through the years, they just gained popularity. Probably about 7 years ago, somewhere in there, we decided to let's just do Wednesday nights and let's make it every Wednesday night in July and August. So it's a set schedule. So people know it better. It's not, oh, is it this week? Is it next week? We have it every night, and it works out well. So, you know, we've had concerts in Riverview for a while, but we're on this schedule, maybe 7, 8 years, somewhere in there, that we've been doing that every Wednesday night in July and August. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, tell me about the band show.
So it is the 70th anniversary of the construction of the band show. It was constructed, added on to the building in 1954, facing an opposite direction. Because when the sun hits it at a certain spot at 6 and 7, the sun absolutely cooks the stage. They probably weren't thinking that back then, having it the other direction. But the stage was originally made in the 60s for orchestras. That's why that is the shape that it is in. It was really made for large orchestra-type concerts, and then later throughout the years, with more bands, with drums, guitars, all of that. All that amplifies all the way to the back of the park, and that's why it's the shape that it is.
Well, that's fantastic. The when you look at the plethora of live music events across the area, you've got so many small towns dotting or making up the Downriver area. Is it difficult to get to fill your schedule out because you're somewhat competing against others? Okay, for bringing bands in, is it hard to bring them in?
I don't think it's that hard.
Okay.
Especially if it's like a band is performing at Lincoln Park and then it goes to another city. And that's fine. You're going to get the same type of crowd, the same big crowd for them, and then they go other. I don't think it's fine with sharing bands in that way, because like some people this thing, like, oh, but if I can't make it to this band coming to this city, I can make it come into the other one.
Sure.
And it's just more about community.
Sure.
That way.
Todd, you guys do your events at essentially at
Young Patriots Park.
Yep. Okay, tell us about that venue. What's it like?
Young Patriots Park, it's a nice setting. It's you know, so it's concerts in the park. It gives you that great feel of just being able to sit in the middle of the park and listen to the concerts. We use what we call our gazebo. It's actually a good-sized pavilion that was built by Caesars of Caesar Capital Management 7 or 8 years ago. And it just gives a nice setting for the bands to come up. It gives them shelter to play under, and people sit around it. It actually, I think, it was a little interesting for our band sometimes because it's kind of like playing in the round. People sit all around it. They don't just sit where the band's facing. You know, we do have an area we try to get the bands to face, but people tend to sit, you know, a lot of times wherever there's shade around the band. But it's a great setting for people to come out. Parking's right there. You know, we have a food truck that comes out right there. So, I mean, you don't have to walk far, which is one of the things I think a lot of our participants that come to watch like, that they can park and not have to walk far with their chair to come out and see.
Makes sense. You guys shift over to the Highlands sometimes, correct?
Yep, we do once a year. We do it, and that was actually this past Sunday. We went out to the Riverview Highlands for the concert on the course, which we always like to say it's our Pine Knob style concert. It gives you that, it goes, there's hills behind you, and you can kind of go up on the hill, and it's a great setting. You're on a golf course, so it's nice and green. It's just a beautiful setting around, and yeah, that concert was this past Sunday. We had the Transit Brothers and the Blues Brothers playing, and they were, you know, great. They put on a great show that people really loved, and you know, the golf course gets involved with being able to sell alcohol, and you know, just It was a good feel. A lot of people came out. We probably had 500 plus people, which we were happy with for the show.
Now, with both of you, do food and alcohol play into the regular concert series, or is that just specialized events, or what do you guys?
So we have food trucks come out for the concerts. We do not have a liquor license for the building, but that is something I do want to get, having some alcohol sales, because we've been talking about that for, like, before I started. They were talking about, like, well, let's try to make it happen, because people already bring their own to the park.
Sure.
But we could definitely sell, but we have food trucks come out just for concerts.
Now, at Young Patriots Park, do you guys?
It's kind of the same boat. We kind of just try to have one food truck per week. Just our crowds aren't huge, but they're nice sized crowds. We get 250 to 300 people for it. And we've talked about liquor license before, but it's just kind of in the same boat. It's been thrown around, but just never really went ahead with it yet.
Mm-hmm. Size of crowds, what do you guys get in Lincoln Park?
Around the same size as Riverview, 200 to 300, but with more popular bands, we get around 500 to 700.
Yeah, that was something I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, jump in, Rich.
I can't help myself.
Feel free
to interrupt you.
No, that's good.
You know, it struck me going to some of these concerts that some of these bands have a following that they don't care where they're playing. If they're playing in Riverview, if they're playing in E-Course, if they're playing in River Rouge or wherever, they're going to follow them and go. It's not just residents you're finding. Do you guys find that as well when you book certain bands?
Yeah, I mean, that's
like
definitely.
Like the ones you had that Sunday, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You have each band has their following.
Yeah.
And they bring in their people. And then we also have our group that we have our people that come out every Wednesday night. So it's a nice mix every week of those that are your regulars that are there, and then the people that are brought in by the band. And as Stephanie said, you know, the bigger the name, yes, usually the crowd grows a little bit more with that.
You find that too?
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because a lot of the communities are doing themselves a great service in that it's a way to sample a community and bring people in from outside that really don't know everything about it. They start to get a sense of what's going on. And maybe even stick around and go somewhere else after the concert, too.
Yep.
Do you guys target types of bands? I mean, would you prefer more rock bands to country bands, or what do you look for?
I like a mix of all genres.
Okay.
But Linkin Park is known as the rock city.
Yes, very much
but,
so. Yeah.
We want all genres of music, but we do attract the rock crowd in Linkin Park.
Okay, how about you, Todd?
We do a little bit of a mix. You know, we've had our things that have worked and haven't worked. Country hasn't been the biggest hit with us, but we do bring it back every so often just to have a little bit of a mix within it. You know, this past week we had a band that played Motown and jazz and just some different things. They even did Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, and things that gave it a little bit different feel, which was great. People loved it. Mm-hmm. But we do tend to lean towards that classic rock kind of style and instrumental and things like that. So, I mean, it's you kind of do have a little bit of a niche, but you play to what your crowd is coming out for.
Do your crowds have tend toward different age groups, or?
Yeah, it kind of goes towards different age groups.
What do you see in Lincoln Park?
Like mostly like middle age type people, but like for example, we had the Downriver Community Band the day before the 4th of July. We got a senior crowd. Like, oh, this is different, but this is what we want. We want different types of people and different crowds coming out every week.
Sure,
but I found that interesting. Like, oh, it was like a sea of walkers. this is what they're interested. They wanted to come out to see just this one. Okay, I'm happy to see that.
What about you, Todd?
Our crowds tend to be a little bit more on the older side. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we're trying to advertise for that. We'd love to have the younger sides come out, but we tend to right now get the little bit of the older side of a crowd out. We do get some families, we get some younger, and hopefully through the years we will build to, you know, being family or all around all ages family. Mm-hmm. And we do try to put some games and stuff out for the kids, so if the kids do come with the parents or show up, there's something else for them to do than just listen to the music.
Rich, how are you today?
I'm okay.
Want to wake you up over there. Rich, you're joining us today because you wanted to talk about some of the other live music venues that dot the Downriver entertainment landscape.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that got us going on this topic. I was talking to Stephanie before we got in here, and there are just so many opportunities to watch live music. And as you said in your introduction, live music is such a energizing force. It's different than hearing it on a recorded, either, you know, whether a CD or a radio. Mm-hmm. There's something about it that adds energy, and people feed off of that. And I that's why I was fascinated on how you find your bands too. I'd be interested in hearing a little bit about that, identifying who you get, who you're going to bring in, who's interesting, and you know, what do your audiences tell you? Size of audience sometimes is an indicator, but there can also be an indicator based on the price you have to pay sometimes. But I noticed that Gross Eel, for instance, they seem to be pretty bold. They had the Polka Kings. Mm-hmm. Now, who's going to book a polka band? But I wanted to ask them how they did with that, mm-hmm. because I thought it was different. You know, who's going to have the guts to book the Polka Kings in? But they did, and it mm-hmm. was different. And they did. I think they also did a country thing as well. Mm-hmm. And talking with Julie Law, the District 142 gal that owns that, she was saying they try and mix it up between rock and country, and they're finding the country does have a footing. They're just having trouble finding the right bands mm-hmm. to perform that, because there's not a lot of them around right now. Mm-hmm. And talking to one of our partners, Jim Edelman from Under the Radar, he plays in a band. Mm-hmm. He was saying these concert venues give an opportunity to young musicians and groups to play somewhere. A lot of times there's not as many places to play live music or go and see it. That's why this is so interesting. It's good for the bands, it's good for the communities, and it's good for the audiences, because they really love seeing this. Unless it's just a horrible band, you're going to have a pretty good time in general. Mm-hmm. Part of what I want to talk about is arguably the largest event downriver, live entertainment-wise, is Jazz on the River. That's part of the Wayne County series. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to it, but that's a big deal event. Mm-hmm. They have mm-hmm. national acts coming in there. And I had a list of Keith Ferguson, Lindsey Webster, Alex Zor, the flute guy. Mm-hmm. Zorchik, and friends. He's a Detroit guy. Phil Perry, Laura Rain, and the Caesars, Urban Jazz Coalition, which I believe is a local band, Jesse J and Mayessa. I mean, these are people that have albums, they have national recognition, and you could not ask for a better setting with the river in the background and Elizabeth Park. It's a great event. It goes on for 2 days, August 3rd and 4th, which is coming up pretty quickly. And I just think that deserves a little airtime from us, at least, in that it just goes to underscore what a great place downriver is for live entertainment. If you want to go and come and see it, you got 18 communities, all of whom have concerts like you guys organize, which aren't easy to organize, I understand that. But they are community events that attract people from all over. And I think that's pretty cool. The other one is a new venue down here, and you were familiar with it. I thought that was pretty interesting. You're the right age. District 142 in downtown Wyandotte. There are a couple cities. Your city of Northville has one now. Mm-hmm. They're set up, they're smaller venues to watch live music. And if you like the concerts in the park, these are great ones to see artists that are some national, some local, but very high-end professional musicians doing their acts. And District 142 started bringing in people, I believe, a year ago in March. And they've pretty well established themselves as a real hot spot for especially the younger generation mm-hmm. going in to find live music. And it's a great venue to go see that kind of stuff. So this is a great season, and there's so many concerts to see downriver. Mm-hmm. And even though we're up to August almost, there's lots of live music still left. I think goes all the way through September mm-hmm. for some mm-hmm. of the I think Romulus has one in September. And I think somebody else has got one in October. So a lot of times live music will also appear at some of the festivals too, mm-hmm. Which are, you know, Taylor has a
sure.
festival mm-hmm. and Riverview yep. does too. And they always bring live music in for those as well. Yep. So yet another opportunity to see great live performances. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now for you two in Lincoln Park and Riverview, you guys are going through August with your schedule, or when yes. do you Okay, through August. Do you know, can you remember who's on tap? Who should we look out for in Riverview, for instance?
I can give you our full schedule, but okay. Yeah, I mean, we got rained out our first week, so okay. We extended into the first week in September, and if we do have any more rain outs, we've been lucky enough that our bands have been able to reschedule with us later in the season, so mm-hmm. we might even go a little bit longer
okay.
on it, but, you know, our concert, this past Wednesday we had Detour, which I said was great. We have Marley Reedaville coming up on July 24th, which is this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They draw a good crowd. And then on July 31st, we have Capture Detroit, which is a Journey tribute band. Mm-hmm. On August 7th, we have the Wayback Machine. They're playing music from the 60s, 70s, 80s. August 14th, we have Sonic Fury, which plays music from multiple decades and genres. On August 21st, we have Kathmandu, which is a Bob Seger tribute. Mm-hmm. And August 28th, Sunset Boulevard, which, you know, transports you into the 1980s. And on September 4th, Shakedown, which is classic rock, which is a staple of ours because it is one of our thing, Mayor Swift's favorite band. So we make sure we have it back every year for them with it. So I think we have a great schedule coming up this year with it. And if I can, just, you know, a little shameless, but, you know, I want to make sure people know we had one really good sponsor this year that sponsored all our concerts, and mm-hmm. that is our Jars Cannabis in Riverview okay. that stepped up and sponsored our concert. So we were very happy to have them be a part of the concerts.
That's an important thing. The sponsors mm-hmm. make a lot of this possible.
Oh, yeah.
And it's yes. not just the city funding. I know you guys are both charged with going out and finding sponsors. You want to talk a little bit about that, Stephanie? I mean, you have
well, first let her, yeah, because she's got it queued up. What's your schedule coming up in Lincoln Park?
So in August, we have coming up, so we are Thursday nights mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. at the band show. Mm-hmm. On August 1st, we have Leave Those Kids Alone. They are a teenager band from Ontario. They did really, really well last year, mm-hmm. And we are happy to have them back. We have Little Davy and the Diplomats. That is our city attorney, Ed Zelnick's jazz band. And he performs every year mm-hmm. for Lincoln Park. We have Roots Vibrations on the 15th. They're a reggae Jamaican band from Detroit. Soltura on the 22nd, which is a Latin band. And then we're ending off on the 29th with the Detroit Doors,
wow,
which is the Doors tribute band.
Well, we've got a lot going
that's
on here.
That's a pretty eclectic mix.
That's for sure. And sponsorships.
So going out and getting sponsors, I really try to keep like Lincoln Park businesses mm-hmm. to sponsor. Mm-hmm. We have Pleasantries, Detroit Salsa Company, Solosi Funeral Home, mm-hmm. like businesses that are like all around Lincoln Park, mm-hmm. and these sponsors are really happy to come back every year to sponsor and to have their banner up next to the stage, next mm-hmm. to the music. Mm-hmm. And I mention the sponsors at every concert as well. And the Chamber of Commerce and Fantasyland are one mm-hmm. of our biggest sponsors since they are part of our building. The Chamber mm-hmm. of Commerce office is in our building mm-hmm. and Fantasyland in December. Then we're really appreciative of all of our sponsors' help, and that's what helps keeps our concerts free.
Fantastic. Where's the Lincoln Park Band Show? What's the easiest routes to get there for people?
The Lincoln Park Band Show is on 3240 Ferris Avenue in Lincoln Park off of 4th Street and Southfield. Okay. And you keep going down the street, it's in Memorial Park. Mm-hmm. Technically, that's the park, and then the band show is right in front of it. People okay. come sit on the grass, bring mm-hmm. tables, chairs, mm-hmm. blankets, food. And then we have the food trucks out there. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fun summertime. It's one of my favorite times of year is the summer.
Young Patriots Park, what's the easiest way to get there?
Young Patriots Park, I mean, it's on Sibley Road is the entrance. Probably the easiest route is to come down 4th Street to Riverview. Mm-hmm. And then if you're, you know, coming from the north, you're turning right onto Sibley. If you're coming from the south, well, you'll have to do a Michigan left and then turn right on Sibley. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I mean, it's Sibley Road, 4th Street's probably the easiest way to get. So it's about a quarter of a mile from 4th Street to mm-hmm. the entrance of the park.
Rich, any last things you want to chime in with here?
I'll shamelessly plug the Destination Downriver website. All of these concert mm-hmm. series are are on the website if you haven't seen them. We have them all up, when the acts are, who's coming, and a mm-hmm. little bit about the band. So yeah, if you want to find out where they are and who's there and when they're playing, go on the Destination Downriver website or on the community websites in Lincoln Park and Riverview.
You guys do a good job of keeping up on the events in the community on that website.
Thank you.
It's
never hurts.
Nice.
Never hurts to get a pat on the back, right, Rich?
That's right.
That's for sure. Okay, that's about it for today's episode. Thanks to Stephanie Davis of Lincoln Park, Todd Dickman of Riverview, Rich Williams, naturally, our Destination Downriver colleague, for telling us about this a lot of fun in the summertime. You know, nothing like getting outdoors and listening to some good music. If you're interested in summer music events downriver, click on the summertime music area on the DestinationDownRiver.com website, as Rich just said, or visit Destination Downriver's Facebook page. For Samantha Rickert and Joe Camilleri behind the scenes, I'm Carl Zimak. We'll see you next month on another episode of Destination Downriver.
Thank you again to our sponsors, Martinson Family of Funeral Homes and Allegra Marketing, with a special thanks to our production partners here at the new Taylor Media Center. Thanks for listening and watching. Please visit our website, destinationdownriver.com, or our Facebook page, and be sure to join us for next month's podcast.